You're listening to Rock Bottom Radio, broadcasting from deep in the Turfnet Zone. Here's your host, Randy Wilson.
Hello, I'm R.W. Wilson. This special Rock Bottom Radio show is in memory of Matt Jones, former golf course superintendent, GM, U.S. Army veteran, college basketball athlete, Harley rider, guitar player, and contributor to Rock Bottom, and a close friend. Rock Bottom Radio is sponsored by Dryject and Turfnet. Please keep in mind that Rock Bottom Country Club is not social media, but merely a modern form of old-time radio from 1937. Matt Jones became part of the Rock Bottom family in 1976 when he joined me and Golf Course Superintendent Gary Reddy in attempting to build a golf course in what had been a swampy work farm attached to a federal prison. Fresh from playing small college basketball somewhere in Alabama, Matt was 6'7", a powerful man and a hard worker, and that guy on the crew that always loved to laugh. Matt was that tough individual who would back you up in a tight spot, like the time Gary and I had to fire Eldo, a fellow who was robbing the crew every payday. Eldo, known for carrying a .44 Magnum in his waistband, was not an easy termination. But Matt stood there right with me, and we survived. At least 5 other people did not survive an encounter with Eldo an hour later. I have several Matt Jones stories, like the one where Eldo stole all our chainsaws while we were clearing the aforementioned swampy work farm, leaving us to remove thousands of trees with only handsaws, a few single-bit axes, and an Olathe PTO-driven chipper, which was too big for Eldo to steal. After a few months of true manual labor, Gary managed to get us several chainsaws of the Homelite XL-12 variety, the kind with the manual oil trigger, and we set to completing the clearing of the golf course, doing mostly the work the architect should have done, but all he did was clear narrow fairways. I think his previous golf course build had been a subdivision. Matt invented a game that involved dropping small pines on each other. You had to work fast or distract the target. Anyway, it was a difficult work environment. Deep mud, vines, briars, thorns, and other vegetation continually entangled us, triggering serious frustration. At one point, Matt was so wrapped up in vines and thorn bushes that he had a major temper fit. He grabbed a second saw and went through the brush, swinging a chainsaw in each hand, yelling and swearing oaths of some kind. It was like a scene out of a movie, but it gave us a great idea. We put a steel saw blade on one of those newly invented weed eaters and sent someone ahead of the chainsaws, just so Matt wouldn't have another vine rage. One cold, wet winter day, as we were struggling to clear an endless hail of privet hedge, Matt spooked a deer hiding just ahead of his chainsaw zone, and the deer exploded right through the middle of our crew, who, for purposes of this story, were all city folks, and to a man were convinced that due to our proximity to Atlanta and I-285 being only a few yards away, the aforementioned deer could not have been a wild animal, but in truth was just a big dog. The crew probably refused to believe Matt because of the previous incident wherein a gaggle of peacocks in a neighbor's yard had been labeled deadly polar chickens. You know the sound a peacock makes? When you hear that coming from the woods, well, it could be anything, and Matt took advantage of that. Back to our story. Matt was infuriated when the crew called him a liar, trying to pass off a wild deer as a big dog. So he grabbed the loudest crew member, a big fellow named Beefus, and dragged him by the collar over to a clearly defined set of deer tracks left by the deer during his escape. Holding Beefus close to the tracks, Matt bellowed, "Does that look like dog prints? Those are clearly cloven hooves. Now if it wasn't a deer, what else walks around on cloven hooves? The devil!" A couple of crew members, one Porter and one Harper, came to the aid of Beefus and attacked Matt. As the mud wrestling match began, Bobby, the heavy equipment operator, said, "Randy, aren't you going to do anything?" "No," I replied. "Matt doesn't need any help." Moments later, Matt had all three pinned in the mud and, from what I could see, was considering killing them, so I intervened by having them apologize for failing to recognize the difference between a Great Dane and a deer. Shortly after that incident, I found myself in the U.S. Army, along with my brother Mike, who joined the Rangers. Matt enlisted in the 10th Special Forces Group and was sent to another country, Massachusetts, if I recall. After the Army, Matt helped us renovate, resuscitate is a better word, resuscitate a golf course near Atlanta where we had no transportation on the course except for worn-out golf carts that the pro shop gave us. And they had no brakes, and I mean no brakes unless you count the Flintstone method. Matt wrapped an easy-go around a tree and then gave it a proper burial. Later, he was forced by Norm, you know, my dad, to disinter the cart for reasons of either insurance or an autopsy. Matt moved on to work for Norm as his assistant at another nearby Lazarus course, and it was there that Matt decided to seek safer pastures than the Wilson orbit. Side note, it was on this course, Broken Finger, that Matt coined the phrase deep pine airfying, after a know-it-all crew worker dropped a giant pine on a green, punching one single airfying hole about 14 feet deep. Matt fell out of the cart and succumbed to the kind of laughing hysteria that is known to be fatal on golf courses. Then he changed the crew worker's name on the chalkboard to Jack's Deep Pine Airfying Expert, which ended in Jack running off. Matt's final day on a Wilson golf course project happened when a crew member reported early for work, breathless from running all the way from his apartment, pursued by his wife. Apparently, she was angry about him staying out all night with another woman, and when he slipped in the door, all he saw was muzzle blasts from her Colt 45 Model 1911 A1. Then she chased him across the golf course, firing and reloading. We heard it coming, and when she entered the parking lot, myself, Norm, and Matt went out the back door of Norm's office. Back doors are a great thing. As we ran across the nearby Part 3, Matt said, while giggling uncontrollably, I survived the airborne, a serial killer, and marriage to be killed by an angry crew worker's wife. After a long night of irrigation, it was 27 holes watered by a hydraulic system, the most non-functional way to irrigate since just waiting for rain. Matt and I were watching the sun come up, waiting on the crew to arrive, and we were discussing golf architecture theory. And Matt said, RW, is our job essential? I mean, is what we do here important in the overall scheme of things? I said, why do you ask, Matt? He said, because I've been offered a couple of jobs and I can't decide which one is the most important. Well, like what jobs? I asked. Selling Fords or an assistant job at a course called the Oaks. Well, I looked at him and said, and you're going to make your decision based on whether or not what we do is essential? About that time, an old man golfer dragging a pull cart slipped out onto the first tee and went off into the fog. Yes, said Matt. All we do is prepare this playing surface for guys that like to whack a ball around trying to make it fall in a soup can. Well, Matt, I think what we do is extremely essential. Vital. We give modern man a place to go primeval, to bash things with a club and hunt it down while hiking across a big field or pasture. They feel like men again, regardless of all the things modern society has done to sissify them. Just imagine, if modern man didn't have golf, what would they do? Take up knitting? A few years of that, and before you know it, men would either develop ovaries or have mental breakdowns. Yes, golf is essential. Selling Fords would be sinning. Matt left that same day to go work at the Oaks. After he learned more essential golf secrets there, he moved on. At one course, Matt encountered a superintendent we used to call Little Adolf, a real screamer, the kind with no management skills whatsoever, just the ability to kiss up to the board. And when Little Adolf told Matt he wasn't allowed to wear Ray-Bans, as that was reserved for the superintendent only, Matt lost that job. You always lose a job when you chase the superintendent around his truck, threatening to beat his tiny little butt. Matt did well at the Harbor Club, Cherokee Run, and others before making the transition to GM at several courses, where he practiced ESG, or extreme skeletal golf, a method forced upon GMs when the budget is less than $250. Eventually, the VA began replacing Matt's body parts, making retirement from golf necessary. During retirement, Matt enjoyed contributing to Rock Bottom. A couple of times per week, I would answer the phone to hear Matt say, without any prelude of any kind, "So Ludell says, Mama, how about..." You get the idea. Matt also showed up in a few videos. Maybe you remember the angry crew worker screaming at Mama, "What? Fire who? Me? Just for stealing chainsaws and robbing the crew?" And that was just before Mama hit him with a crowbar. A few weeks ago, Matt went to sleep in his chair and never woke up. And even though he was a golfer, I'm confident he went to the good place. Have you noticed a shocking increase in angry people, road rage, blatant, unapologetic incompetence in our government, and mean, cruel comments aimed at nice people? We have, and I know why. I blame social media and the unhinged interactive side of the net, as well as the glaring propaganda spewing forth from our screens. Even rock bottom has been affected. We've been suffering from an outbreak of some of the worst gossiping, backbiting, name-calling, and false witness-bearing ever. Just listen in to our maintenance break room.
Did you read in Buff Post about old Ms. Fester's husband? He ran off.
I don't blame him. Married to that old Jezebel for 50 years.
He tried it before, and she hunted him down and beat him with a 2x4. But he claims he can turn himself invisible.
Well, he is kind of translucent. I don't know how Esmeralda Pinkins got him to say I do.
Old Fester didn't need to run off. I hear he's rich as a third-term senator.
Ain't family, didn't your first husband run off?
No, a church steeple fell on him. Judge ruled it a suicide.
What happened to your second husband?
Lucius? He was unclogging the sewer pipe with a blowtorch and it exploded. A great big doozy ball hit him and messed up his balance. That's when he started leaning to the left.
That explains all the Hillary stickers.
That reminds me, did the front side women's restroom ever get fixed?
Yeah, we had to wait for the EPA to give us the all clear. Their hazmat people refused to go in unless the ambulance was on station.
Liddell, from now on, you stay out of there.
I am being unfairly accused.
I heard Liddell had the beans and chitlins at Papa's kitchen Friday night.
That's a bald-faced lie. I had the barbecue goat.
What were you doing in a women's restroom anyway?
The men's was clogged up.
Stinky Pants Liddell strikes again.
He's a serial restroom killer.
Y'all better shut up.
Stinky Pants, oh, Stinky Pants. Oh, Mama Stinky Pants hit me.
Stop it, Liddell.
Y'all quit. Folks will start whining about the bathroom humor.
Well, that's what makes folks laugh.
Somebody get some carts out on the line. Two foursomes waiting to go off.
I smell whiskey on all of them.
You know, that's a shame, drinking this early in the morning. I bet it's them school teachers over at that uppity private high school.
Y'all seen that lacrosse coach over there? She's huge.
I bet she's on steroids.
You know, she got arrested for assault with a cricket bat.
I don't get lacrosse. Give a bunch of folks a stick while they fight over a ball? What do they think is going to happen?
I heard she used to be a man.
Y'all the worst gossips I ever heard.
Golfers carry around a bag of sticks and they don't hit each other.
You ain't seen Miss Fester play golf, have you?
Willie, it's bad. It's real bad.
What is?
This is. Oh, it's bad. It's real bad.
Your laptop is bad?
No, man. Look at the story on bullfeedgossip.com.
The one that says men should be deported to Jupiter?
No, look right there. It says global warming has put coffee on the endangered list. And chocolate. Coffee and chocolate harvests are declining because of the heat.
Really? Where's your favorite coffee come from?
Africa, I think. Ethiopia. Or is it Sumatra?
Isn't it kind of warm in Africa? What about chocolate? Where do they grow that?
Brazil.
I expect it's warm there, too. But, you know, it's hard to argue with internet experts. I guess all that coffee grown in Iceland and Norway's in real trouble. I hate that. And I'm going to miss Arctic chocolate terrible bad.
I wish you'd just shut up. I come to you with some science and you just honk on it. Can't you just offer up some solutions instead of honking on stuff that's going to happen, like carbon and science and pronouns?
I see your point. I should get worked up over carbon, especially since it's 0.04% of the atmosphere. If we could get it down to 0.02, then we'd all die. Would that make you feel better?
Yeah, I guess. What about the pronouns?
I can fix that, too. Let me see your laptop.
No, you'll shoot it like you did my others.
There. I guarantee you'll feel much less tension for several days. At least until your replacement laptop gets here. Now give me your phone.
Mama, Willie's trying to shoot my phone.
Yahoo News says the latest rumor out of the federal nursing home is they're going to declare a bird flu epidemic and lock us down again.
Well, if they do, we need to take advantage of all the bird killing and shoot them geese we've acquired.
What'll we do with all the bodies?
Put them in the compost pile with the snail darters. Oh, and it says here they want to declare a climate emergency and start World War III.
Sounds like gossip and disinformation to me.
Let's just go play golf. Good shot, Willie.
Thanks. I believe it's important for superintendents to play and to play well.
Ain't no call for you to get all puffy and swell-headed about it.
All I said was...
Truth of the matter is you hit a fairy wood off that tee. Ain't even man enough to hit a driver.
It's a fairway wood, not a fairy wood.
Speaking of fairies, you hear about them sheep herders over in Scotland? They don't like the male sheep fighting amongst themselves, so they spray Axe body spray on them, and then they stop fighting.
I don't even want to know what they do next.
The sheep herders?
No, I've already heard those rumors. I was talking about the sheep. I thought that particular spray was supposed to attract females.
Well, apparently it blocks the pheromones.
You mean pheromones?
What are they afraid of?
Not pheromones. It's... never mind.
Anyway, I sprayed it on some golfers, and now they're out there hugging like a bunch of Kansas City...
Hey, I think I figured out how to stop all this gossiping, backbiting, name-calling, and false witness-bearing.
How?
Somewhere there's an electric cord that powers the internet. All we have to do is unplug it.
You mean one plug powers the whole internet?
Yep.
I found it. This big orange cord right here. If we just give it a good yank.
You've been listening to Rock Bottom Radio, broadcasting from deep in the TurfNet zone. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher for future episodes.